Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to You Haven't Heard This Music Podcast, a music podcast in which we bring forward lesser known artists who we feel deserve some spotlight, who are just as good, if not better, than those on our mainstream media. There is so much amazing talent out there and we are here to share it with you. I'm Emer and I am joined by the wonderful Richie.
Yay.
Wayne.
Hello everybody.
And tonight we are joined by the wonderful Phil McCulloch from the hit YouTube channel, Grandpa Reacts. Hello, Phil.
That was very flattering. I'm not sure about hit, but I am from a YouTube channel indeed.
I'd say it's a hit. I really enjoy it.
It's good, new, it's you. New, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Right, yo, so let me read out how the show is going to go with shaking hands and my piece of paper. So, first up, we have the intro. Then we have head to head. After that, we'll be moving on to our wild card, baby. And then we have the intense, hardcore genre musical challenge mode.
Intense hardcore genre musical challenge mode, go!
Or Ichimichimig for short. So let's kick things off with our head to head. And this week, usually the winner goes first, but I've decided it would be fun to go alphabetical order backwards. So Wayne will be kicking things off with his
more
head-to-head.
More like alphabetical out of order then, isn't it?
Reverse is in order.
Well, thank you, Emma. I will go first then.
There
so this
go.
Week I will be bringing along a band called Haberdash and their song Like a Lover. Enjoy.
Truth away, no surprise, we find
So that was Haberdash with their song Like a Lover. Bit of background on the band. They were formed in early 2013 in Sheffield. They described themselves as a rock pop group with an exuberant stage show, infectious riffs and memorable lyrics. I mean, sometimes I just want to bring someone that's fun, that makes me smile. And this makes me smile. It's just fun, nice riffs, just full of energy. And, you know, it's poppy as all hell, and I love it. And sometimes that's just all you need, especially the way the world is at the moment. Just something that, you know, brings a smile to your face a couple of times, you know, when you listen to it. It's got this tremendous up-to-date 80s feel. So, you know, the whole vibe that we're surfing at the moment, it's got that feel to it that it could be in an 80s sort of rom-com and go that way. But it's got such lovely energy all the way through it. The arrangement is brilliant. I love it. The brilliant production. The riffs throughout are fantastic. And, you know, the sound of all the instruments is just this top quality production. And it's just, you know, these guys get 28 monthly listens. It's crazy to me that they're that small on Spotify, because you listen to how the band sounds, they should have like a mass following. It's crazy. There's a singer, he's got this great pop rock voice that could rival anybody, like, you know, the lads from McFly or the Skating for Girls guys, you know. He's up there with those lot. And strangely, it reminds me of Savage Garden, but I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it at all, but there's something in there that's reminding me. It might just be the production. But yeah, brilliant stadium stroke festival feel to these guys, and it's just, you know, fist in the air rock. So who wants to go first? We'll start with you, Phil. Let's start with you, Phil. What do you think of this?
Yes, Wayne, I agree with everything that you said, really. It had that kind of feel-good factor. I think there's a lot of the lyrics in the song that are, like, you know, all about seizing the day and that the other. I think it would probably fit very well for like ITV's World Cup coverage, football, or the European Championships or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally agree. With Ema, what do you think, Ema?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Nice bright guitar. And yeah, I definitely resonate with like hearing McFly, like way up with them, you know. I was thinking like kind of two-door cinema club vibes almost, like summer teenage rebel. I love how they switched up the third verse. And yeah, fun song, feel good. And I could totally see it on an ad. I get that a lot. So yeah, nice find.
Cool. Rich?
Over to you, Richie.
Yes, you know, this isn't usually the type of music I'd go for. This is not my genre. But this, I do like this quite a lot. And it grows on me the more I hear it. It's definitely got that McBusted type vibe to it. I got that straight away, which is usually something that puts me off. But yeah, there's a lot going on with this as well. It's very layered, very detailed for this genre of music. Usually it's quite simple music and straight to the point. This is, yeah, it's very layered, very detailed, very nice, but it's very good. I like it a lot. I enjoyed this. Thank you, Wayne, for bringing it to my attention.
Cool. Moving on then.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Next up we have Richie.
Reet up next.
Yes, you.
I'm bringing an artist called Gracie Martin. I'm assuming it's Gracie, G-R-A-C-I-E. Gracie Martin releases Dream Pop Bop Dreams. Dreams? Dreams? Dreams Die. Grace Martin, Dreams Die. That's the song that you're going to listen to now.
They don't like I just cut you, I tape it to the wall like I was 13. Writing the fanfic, making it perfect, waking up for school just to go back to sleep.
Gracie Martin, y'all, with Dreams Die. Rochester-born Martin, has one foot in the past and the other in the present. Her music comes across as a timeless blend of both a stirring confluence of classic American music and modern pop that's brimming with sophistication and heart. I love this piece of music. It's a piece of music I wouldn't tend to bring usually. It's very pop. It's very commercial. But this, I think it was the bass that got me original. The bass tones that she uses are fantastic. When that bass drop kicks in, you get definite bass face. I do anyway, every time. And for those that don't know what bass face is, it's that face you pull when somebody next to you farts and the smell unexpectedly hits you. And that's bass face.
The little ooh.
Yeah, the production on this is fantastic. The nuances, the little nuances she uses with the different, they're like organic sounds, but they're also done on a synth, I think. But it still comes across quite organic. The trumpets and, yeah, I just love it. It's great. And there's it's not quite a rap bit in the middle. It is and it isn't. I like that bit in there. It breaks up the song quite nicely. It's just a good piece of music. Nice contemporary piece of pop. I'm going to go and ask Phil, what do you think of this? Oh, and her voice is angelic. I've just got to point out, her voice is angelic.
Well, no, I mean, I like the song. I'm not a fan of like, I thought she was like a quirky singer. So if you like people like Paloma Faith and stuff like that, I've got like that quirky voice. I'm not really into like quirkiness. I did like the song. It gave me a kind of an underwater vibe, if that makes any sense.
That makes so much sense.
Thank you. which made me think of No Ordinary Love by Sade. But Sade, this singer, is not.
Okay.
That was about it.
I'm glad you loved it, Emma.
Yeah, that's a really accurate underwater thing. Now that you say it, it feels, sounds like a mermaid song. I love it. I think that the production is fantastic. It's original. It sounds timely, but it's new. I agree with you there, Richie. Angelic voice. She's got a lovely mix of acoustic No, I'm not saying that right. Digital sound, analog sounds, you know, and digital sounds. I think there's a beautiful blend. I think it was quite risky, like, taking everything out of the chorus and just having the bass in there for a little bit, but I loved it. Yeah, big fan of this. I really like it.
Cool. Wayne.
I'm the same. This is a fantastic piece of music. You've played Gracie Martin on the show before.
Have I?
Yes, you have. You brought her last season. Yeah, that was a good song as well. She's a very good artist, is Gracie.
Was that for the head-to-head, was it?
Yeah, you won with it as well.
We should probably get her on the show then.
For me, you get the lovely organic sounds, like you've already pointed out, the organic sounds mixed with the electronica, and it gives you that underwater floaty feel, that dream pop feel to it. You get that, you know, the thing she does in this that emulate a dream, because that's where I think this song's going. You know, you get those lovely finger-picked guitar strokes, and all the percussion in there is really tinny. It's really metallic sounding. And then he juxtaposes against the electronic bass. You know, as you said, Rich, that bass that rumbles and gives you the bass face. It does the both of those things. And then just to throw you off guard completely, you bring in some Tijuana brass and it just totally takes the song somewhere else. It's a really, really good song. Her singing is off the chart good, by the way. You know, it's dreamlike right the way through, and then she brings it back down and brings it more contemporary, and she does it at the flick of a switch. It's fantastic. It's melancholic and it's longingly beautiful. For me, the song is about self-belief and about growing up and having to let go of those dreams or holding on to those dreams for as long as you can. And yeah, I think it's just a fantastic song. Really, really good.
Yeah, it's a simple message encased in a complicated piece of music. Well, no, it is complicated. It's a complicated piece of production, is what it is. I don't know if she's produced it herself, but whoever she's chose to produce it with, she chose correct. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Nicely said.
I would like to hear more from her, I think.
Yeah, she's got a lot of good stuff out there. I've listened to a lot of her stuff, and she's definitely worth checking out. And to all our listeners, definitely check her out.
Wonderful. So that concludes our head-to-head. Do we give the winner at the end?
You haven't done yours yet.
Yeah, haven't you got to go, Eva?
Oops. Okay, so my head-to-head, forgetting that I had to bring one there for a second. So I am playing Song for Ella by Cap'n Marble.
By the sands that I
So that was Song for Ella by Cap'n Marble. Cap'n Marble consists of John and Ryan, who are native Californians, but they met in Berklee College of Music Boston, and their tracks are lovingly crafted in their modest home studio. Yeah, I absolutely love this song. I think it's catchy, it's fresh, it's fun. It's like, I feel like if Cage the Elephant and the Beatles had a love child, these guys would probably come out. I think there's a super catchy chorus. I love the syncopation in the chorus as well. And yeah, it just has a lovely nostalgic feeling to it. So that is Song for Ella. Richie, what do you think?
I was hoping when you said that, when you introduced them, you said John and Ryan, was it?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say John and Paul, because this is... It definitely got a Beatles vibe. It's thoroughly influenced by the 70s rock music, the Kinks, the Beatles. I could hear the Beach Boys in there, Dave Clark 5. As far as it being fresh, like a new, I wasn't getting that, but that's not to say it's bad, because it's a really good sound. It's a very bass-forward song. The bass was really good, isn't it? Nice, clean sound, and it was that you didn't hear that as much in the 70s, so I suppose that made it stand out a bit. But yeah, it's a good tune, really good. I liked it. I don't know if it would do well commercially because of how dated it is, but maybe that's just me. That, and again, that's not to knock it, because I love that 70s sound, I love that 70s music. So yeah,
lovely. And Phil, what do you think?
I think I agree with both of you in certain ways. I think it had the stamp of Ray Davies all over it. And it made me think of Waterloo Sunset, kind of like listening to a song on the old wireless, where they had that kind of at the beginning, where like it was like the radio sound coming through. And although it was good and I enjoyed it, I did enjoy it. I think if I listened to any more of their songs, I would just want to go and listen to my Kinks collection, in all fairness. So, like, it was kind of, I don't know whether, like, all of theirs, obviously I don't know whether all of their music is of similar. But yeah, I think I'd just rather listen to the Kinks, but it was good and I enjoyed it.
Lovely. And Wayne, over to you.
Totally agree. Got the Beatles vibe from the first moment. The one band you haven't mentioned that I got a lot, and it's more in melody and arrangement than it is in sound, is ELO. The way the song is arranged and the way... the melody goes for it is very ELO. You know, it harps back again, the Beatles and ELO, you know, there's no ELO without the Beatles, sort of thing. So yeah, it's got a great sort of early 90s nostalgic feel to it, this. And, you know, obviously they're from California, it's rocking that California, that, you know, that West Coast vibe, it's laid back. It's the sort of thing you hear on, you know, in a beach or at the beach, or, you know, when you're out and about, I presume when you're out and about in California. I've never been to California, but it gives me that sort of, that impression. It's a really nice song, you know, it's well sung, it's well arranged. It's another song like Gracie Martin's song. It's all about the percussion for me in this. You get those lovely tubular bells, and about three quarters of the way through, you get the marching drum beat, and it changes the song up a bit. It lifts it a little bit. I'm not a fan of the intro, if I'm honest. The sort of crackly radio, you know, sort of sung back effect. I think that it would have been absolutely fine just to come straight in. That's just my one quibble with it. I think it's a good song. Yeah, I like it. It's good.
I'm surprised that they're American, because I think they've put a lot of effort into sounding British. I'd never really guessed they were an American band ever.
But the Beatles did inspire a whole generation of artists in America, so
I think I'm always 10 years behind when it comes to music, but I think a band that nobody's mentioned, that they kind of had that same kind of sound as like the Coral or the Kooks. I thought they were very similar to that as well.
Yeah, I get the Kooks for sure. Nice one. So that concludes our head-to-head.
Yeah, but we need a verdict.
Do you want to make predictions on who he's going to choose, or should we just let him choose to tell us who's going to
make predictions? I think Phil's going to choose you, Wayne, this week.
I'm terrible at this, so I'm not going to say anything.
Ema?
I think he'll choose me, because I believe in myself.
Okay.
Wayne, you should do the same.
What, so I get to pick what I like the best?
Your favourite.
Okay, all right. Well, I didn't realise I'd be doing that. Because now I feel under pressure and obliged in three different ways.
I think... No, we don't take anything personal here.
Go with your heart, Phil. Go with your heart.
I think on the basis of, you see, this is difficult because I would say on the basis of like the song itself, they were all really good. Like they were all good. And would I want to listen to more of their songs again?
You're doing the X Factor thing now, Phil, where they've got to choose one person, but they don't want to do it. So they go, oh, I love you both. I think you're both brilliant. I think you're both fantastic. And I don't want to get rid of either of you, but I'm going to have to get rid of one.
If I had to listen to, like, if it was based on picking the song to listen to again, I'd pick the first one, because I would listen to that again. It was a bit more upbeat and a bit more positive, which was, I think that's Wayne's. Is that Wayne's?
That's Wayne!
Woo!
Woo!
But I would, but I did enjoy Ema's choice. It was very good. And I think with Rich's choice, I would like to listen to more of her music to decide if I liked her or not.
Okay.
Awesome. Great. Well, congratulations, Wayne.
Yay!
And Phil, yeah, thank you for choosing. Nice
no
work.
No worries.
So we are on to our next section, which is the wild card, baby.
What's the wild card?
That's up to you.
And the wild card is the section where we go into the emails of all of our submissions. Thousands of submissions have been sent to us over the weeks and months and over a year or whatever. And I flick through them with my finger, flicking. And at some point, Phil, our guest, is going to say stop. You're going to say stop. And then we'll land on one of the artists, and that'll be the artist that we get to listen to. So
oh, okay.
I'm flicking through.
Stop.
Okay, so we have landed on Ruby Duff and her song, Zoom.
Ooh.
Ruby explains that Zoom is about noticing what is around you, the people, your feelings, your thoughts and vision. When you begin to notice the small things and pay attention to both the ugly and the beautiful, you could write a novel, a movie, or in my case, a song. So that's what the song's about. That's what we're going to listen to right now. We haven't heard the song before. This is just random. I hope it's good.
Holding on to something, I wish I could be the one to love. Maybe I could change, maybe I could stay. Maybe I could find a way. But after all this time, we're still chasing lights like our starry nights and your garden shouted fights. Zoom your garden, zoom your garden, zoom your garden. Lonely for the blues, your garden, zoom your garden, zoom your garden.
So, yes, that was Ruby Duff with Zoom. That was an inspired piece of music right there. So much going. That was brilliant. That was a fantastic wild card. It was similar-ish to my head-to-head. I love the orchestra, the way she's made. You got like an orchestral sound running behind the whole thing. You got the kettle drum bass. It's not a typical pop sound, but somehow she's made it into a pop sound, and it's, yeah, there's a bit, like about three quarters of the way through, where it winds into the, like a next section, but she winds it in with, like, you know, the key that you get on, like, a jewellery box type thing, and then a lullaby starts, but it was done very clever, and the production is, yeah, the production was amazing. I really like that a lot. If that's on Spotify, that's going straight to my playlist. What did you think, Kima?
Wow.
Wasn't it?
Oh my God, that was amazing. That was a stunning piece, and it was so ethereal. There were points where it like reminded me of Lana Del Rey, the way she sang. And yeah, just like so inspired. It was beautiful. Everything about it.
That's a fantastic production, wasn't it, that?
Oh, it was amazing. And even how she sings, like the zoom, zoom. So cool.
Yeah, I love
so
that.
Clever.
The piano, I thought that was an actual piano, but on second, but then halfway through, I heard a bend, one of the keys. So she bent it into like a flat note. So I think it was done on a keyboard. But even so, everything's really good. It's like the little details like that. It was just one key that was bent. Most people probably wouldn't notice it. The attention to detail is amazing.
Yeah.
Phil!
Absolutely.
Hello!
Thinking?
I enjoyed it. I liked it. I did mention earlier about, like, the quirky singing. I didn't think it was that quirky. It was like the Breathless kind of singing, and in which case I'll listen to the Bangles. But but I did enjoy it, and I would listen to that again.
Lovely.
And everything else you said was, yeah, you know, the bit about like the jewellery box with the ballerina turning around. I heard that kicking in and I thought that was pretty cool. And there's also, I think it had an underwater beachy theme to it, just like the one we heard earlier on as well. I think maybe that's just me.
I wasn't getting that in either of them, but Emma picked up on it.
It just feels it. It's like, ooh, like floaty.
Mm. Wayne?
Absolutely amazing, isn't it? I agree with Emma completely, Lana Del Rey. This starts for me like a Kate Bush song. You're getting all that sort of quirk. And she the way it starts, she starts like Kate Bush and evolves into Lana Del Rey. You know, and throughout, you know, the string stabs, they're very Kate Bush. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's incredible. And the fact that it's so, you know, orchestral, there's not that much. See, you're saying that they're using digital effects. I'm not sure because they sound so crisp. That harp is so, you know, it's so organic and so floaty. I don't think you could replicate that. I mean, I'm sure you could nowadays, but it feels organic. I love when they bring the bass in and it gives it that pulsing, you know, constant beat for a little bit, and the way she builds, and I don't mean builds a song as in, you know, volume, I mean she builds the song as you go along. It's bringing in parts. It's almost like she's building a house, putting brick by brick in, and that's how the song builds. And then she takes some out because she doesn't like the extension and puts something else in there, right the way through till you get to the dreamlike moment and the harps and the swimming and all that. It's, for me, it'd be like a Busby Berkeley film. You could have a dreamlike moment with this. If you know Busby Berkeley, he did the massive stage show dances in films in the like 30s and 40s. It's like that. It's all pop at its best. It's audio storytelling. It's a fantastic song.
It almost felt like pop opera. You could imagine it on stage.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Bold as ever with her swirling menagerie of sonic influences, Ruby is a truly unique artist, and Zoom is just the latest addition in her growing collection of unparalleled releases. Even outside of the studio, Ruby Duff inhabits a place of celestial ambiguity and mystery. Talking about the inspiration of Judy Garland, nobody's a bigger stage performer than Judy Garland, in one breath and elephant ornaments in the next. Yet whilst the stream of consciousness is difficult to follow, her creativity and passion for what she does isn't. Yes, definitely an artist to check out, Ruby Duff. We'll leave all of her links and all of her information in the show notes, along with all the other artists as well, which you should also check out. Ema.
Amazing. That's a very strong wild card. I'm obsessed. I'll be listening to that a lot. So next we are on to the Indeeds Hardcore Genre Musical Challenge Mode Go.
I was challenged with bringing a piece of music from the genre. What was it? It was
Folkatronica.
I've been saying Folkatronica. So Folkatronica. I put it out on Twitter today. Was it yesterday? Either way, I didn't give the Twitter people long, and I got a fair few people throwing music at me. For some reason, every time I put on Twitter, leave your links below for this genre, I get more hip hop artists. So this is my opportunity. Even though it's completely not the genre, more hip-hop artists than anything else, but there you go. Anyway, we had a piece of music sent to us from the band, Grandfaloon.
That's how I would pronounce it. Or Grandfaloon.
Grandfaloon, yeah. Following up on Hannah's Twitter info, I've sent a bio and links. Thank you for that, Grandfaloon. Grandfaloon is a musical project of Manchester-based artist and producer Richard Lomax. Lomax makes a hybrid of lo-fi folk, experimental music and electronica, weaving oddball elements such as omnichords, acoustic guitars and vintage drum loops into dreamy songs and cinematic soundscapes. They've been on BBC Introducing and other places. They're getting about. Most recently, in April 2020, Lomax co-founded the Positive Songs Project, a large online songwriting community which focuses on creative techniques and encouraging collaboration between artists. The project has been responsible for the penning of over 300 and counting by songwriters from here to Helsinki, LA, Guadalajara and beyond. So, yes.
Guadalajara.
The state.
Yep, what a racist. So that's them. We're going to listen to their music. So yeah, this is Grandfaloon with their song
"Objects of Love."
How do you know that?
Prepare.
I do my research.
boudoir of Princess Eugenie, clipped from the tomb of Queen Nefertiti. So thoughtful, that lover of mine. Dirt in Washington's grave, tokens of loyalty, honest and brave, that sweet, thoughtful husband of mine. Of silk from the barmaids in Stratford, cloth and rag from the barmaids in Salford, gullible darling of mine. Darling of mine, would you believe these flowers aren't really from Washington's grave? I picked them down by the canal the rain, sweet gullible darling of mine.
So that was my Folktronica submission, the band Grand Falloon. Yeah, I like this a lot. I like this more than I thought I was going to like it. These guys obviously love their technology. I don't know if you saw the video, but these guys love the technology. I don't know if it's just these guys or if it's something to do with the genre, but they do what you mentioned earlier, Ema. They like to mix that digital with the analog, and it could look like it's going to get busy and they're mixing horrible sounds with other, but it's kind of like a painting. Good artists will take different colours and blend it into one beautiful piece of work, and I feel that's what they've done here. They've taken lots of different stuff, and it could get cluttered, but because they know how to use it, how to put it together, it comes together in a beautiful piece of art. At the start, it almost sounded Aphex Twin-ish. I thought, this is going to be weird all the way through. I almost expected this to come into it. But it didn't. Yeah, but it's really good though. Very clever, very clever. And I would listen to this again. It's strange because usually when I get a genre challenge, the first thing I do is I go into Spotify, type in the genre and have a listen. And for 2 days, I was listening to house music. And I thought, this genre just sounds a lot like house music. But then I discovered another playlist and it sounded completely different. And the lesson to be learned here was, don't go searching for genres on Spotify. So I put it out on Twitter, and these guys sent this in, and I love it a lot. And I'm going to go to Wayne first.
So I've been to Wikipedia, and I'll give you the rundown of what the genre is meant to encapsulate. So the genre of folktronica, the genre of music comprising various elements of folk music and electronica, often featuring uses of acoustic instruments, especially string instruments, and incorporating hip-hop, electronica, and dance rhythms.
I wasn't getting the hip-hop.
No, neither was I, but it's one of the ones I can choose from. You know, it's all blended together. This is not what I was expecting at all, if I'm honest. The two genres seem to blend and mould brilliantly together, and they're quite commutative, and they complement each other really well. The song is really, really well arranged. For me, the song is all about the brushes on the drums. I absolutely love the way they've recorded that, and you can hear the way it sounds, and it gives it that sort of earthy tone, you know, that sort of feel of they're keeping their roots almost, along with the swirls. I mean, I don't know if you got this, Rich. I got some sort of Indian vibe, almost drone folk at times with it as well.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I think that might be a common occurrence within that genre. Listening to some of the
yeah, it's a really songs. Nice find. It's a really good song.
Phil.
Electronic folk electronica, is that what we're calling it?
Folktronica.
Folktronica. So, I mean, I'm a big like electronica fan, or like anything with synth. So, I live in the 80s. And I thought I was going to be getting some kind of like Kraftwerk New Order thing at the start. And then like he started singing, which was disappointing. Because I thought, let me explain. Because I thought he was trying to do some kind of Morrissey thing with weird, just saying things. And that didn't make any sense. But actually, as the song went by, it was quite a relaxing song. I was, that was my back. It was quite a... Don't make me laugh, seriously. That's a... I was going to take a breath. I didn't realise this was a thing. And I think maybe I would like to listen to more of this kind of music. As long as he doesn't try and trick me.
Okay. Yeah.
How would it trick you?
Well, because at the start I was like, yeah, I'm going to get New Order or Kraftwerk here. And then what I got really was the Jonas Brothers. And like, you know, I was like, I've been tricked. like, this is buyer's remorse here. You know, this is
it does start off different to what it ends up being, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not mad about it. But like it was kind
we'll
of
get
like,
over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I will in a bit. But like, yeah, like you're expecting one thing and you get another. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It's like, say, buying something off the internet, and when it comes, it's like just a picture of what you ordered. You're like, I'm disappointed.
It's like buying something off Wish.
Oh yeah,
I've been
that's
there.
That's what it was like. But because you've made that mistake and you don't want to admit that it's a mistake, then you like learn to love the thing that you've got. And I think that's where I was with that song.
That was such a backhanded compliment. Ema.
Yeah, I liked it. I think it was more on the folk end of the tronica, and you know, yeah, it's cool. I like his storytelling. Definitely keeps the folk themes, like as Wayne was saying, it has those very earthy tones. This might sound super random, but kind of reminded me of Romeo and Juliet by Dire Straits at times, the way that he spoke. It just kind of felt like the way that they told that story. But yeah, great storytelling, lovely instruments, and very relaxing. You know, I'm quite lulled. I enjoyed it.
Cool. So now we have to choose a genre for next time. And who's going to bring the genre? Is it you, Ema, or Wayne?
Me.
Is it you?
Yeah.
Okay. Wayne, you haven't heard this music podcast genre bible?
It's in my hand.
Oh, what a bloke. So, Ema, we'll get Phil to choose it. Phil, if you want to choose a letter from A to Z.
Ooh, okay. What about S? Sorry, S.
S. I imagine there's going to be a few of those, Wayne.
There's a few S's, yeah.
How many pages?
How about ST?
No, can you do that? Then.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we can, yeah. Oh. We have quite a few STs.
So, how about STR?
How about STD?
No. Just give me a number between like 1 and 20.
14.
Right, whoa, okay. Oh no, I asked him to give me a number between 1 and 14, so he gave me 14 on the STs, right, which takes me down to SU, so it's not an ST, it's an SU.
Okay.
Right, and it is... Well, I'm going to try and say this. Are you ready? Suomi rock music. Right?
Ooh.
Do what?
Suomi rock music is Finnish rock, also known as Finns rock, Finn rock. Refers to rock music made in Finland.
Ooh, I think I actually might know some. There was a guy who really liked Polish rock, and I think it's close. I don't know if it's... I don't know. I will find out all about it and bring it to you next week.
Excellent.
I imagine you just offended a lot of Polish people.
I'm not
I feel
right.
Like that's our job at the moment, just to piss everybody off.
Exactly.
Are you going to... So you're going to ask about your collection of artists that you know, or do you want me to put it out on Twitter for you?
Throw it out on Twitter.
And you'll ask about...
See what comes back. Huh? Yes, absolutely. I'll ask about. I'll do some research.
Cool.
And, yeah. Should I bring a little history of the genre, too?
Sure, yeah. I should have done that, but thankfully Wayne did it for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, bring it on.
So we're done. That's all the music. That's this week. We'll just have a bit of a chat with Phil.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you, yeah.
Despite the back pain?
Oh, yeah. I mean, other than the fact that I can't... sit down, lie down, walk, talk, cough or sneeze without being in like agony.
So you're kind of doing floating?
No, I'm lying down.
Okay.
It's in a salt bath.
Yeah.
So,
everything's, you know, everything's fine.
Lovely. You're working on a new project at the moment. Your Grandfather Reacts, is it?
Grandpa Reacts.
Grandpa,
yes.
Grandpa.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, so Grandpa Reacts is basically my my other half's dad. He's terrified of anything horror related. So we watch movie trailers to get his reaction. We've done a few horrors, so we've done like Nightmare on Elm Street, The Terrifier, Saw, and then we do other, so we've recently done a few upcoming one, so we've done Bond, Ghostbusters, The Batman. But it's like if you've got 5 minutes or you want to kill 5 minutes of time, it's a good laugh to watch him jump out of his seat at a jump scare.
Yeah, it's one of those where I watch it and I want to laugh, but at the same time I want to feel sorry for him. as the budget grows, you're going to take him to Blackport, that like a place of terror. What is it called? Just outside the Pleasure Beach. That'd
Passage
be awesome.
Of Terror.
Passage of Terror. Yeah.
I have never heard of that, but yes. Well, I say, when the budget increases, when we're allowed to go anywhere, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, he'd absolutely shit his pants. It'd be amazing.
He wouldn't come out of that, I don't think, Phil. That scares the crap out of me, let alone somebody who's scared of horror films.
Well, I think clarity. Well, clarity is the wrong word, but his favourite film is Pretty Woman. So that's where he stands in films. That's his favourite. And he likes like a good rom-com. So anything, I mean, like, he was scared of Terminator 2, which was, like, I thought was daft. But, yeah, so, we're over on YouTube. There is another Grandpa Reacts, actually. Some guy with, like, 2,000 subscribers. We're the ones with, like, 50 subscribers. So we're quite easy to find.
Just a bit of backstory on Phil. Phil was the person that was responsible for me doing a bit of stand-up back in the day. He was a compere, weren't you, Phil? And
Yeah, I did a bit of comparing.
I wanted to do it once just to say I could, you know, that I've done it. And
you were very good,
well.
Richie. Yeah, you did.
I just had a good crowd, I think, and you kept calling me back when you should have just said, you've had your go now, just leave it there.
Well, you see, the thing is, you can be good somewhere in front of a good crowd, but it's always good to see if you can get that kind of reaction, because I always used to think that at the Hollybush, if you went to the Hollybush, I always said, if you go to the Hollybush and get laughs, throw those jokes away because they won't work anywhere else. But yeah, no, I thought you did all right in the gigs that you did. I think some comedians are good for some venues and not for others.
Well, yeah, I discovered this. Your crowd is different wherever you go. Well, I didn't know, no teaching or anything. It was just like stand on stage and do your thing. But I did one gig for you and I turned up and I think the bingo hall must have been closed that night and just it was just the average age must have been 60, and as you know, Phil, a lot of the stuff that I did was quite controversial, and
it certainly was, I sank
like a lead balloon.
We've all done it though, mate, we've all done it. I've seen people who have been in movies get booed off stage, so you know, it's not don't take it to heart. We've all
been
there.
Have to kind of work out material for different crowds, but I'd only done it a few times, so I never really thought that was something I'd have to do. Anyway, yeah, it was good while I did it. I'm glad I did it.
I'm glad you did as well.
You did stand-up comedy, did you?
No, it was actually at a music festival, and I used to play with the folk band, and there was a bunch of like 13-year-olds, and we were all on in front, like ahead of this rapper. And they all started chanting the rapper's name while we were on, like screaming and stuff during it. And afterwards, we had to go backstage and do like a radio interview. And we were like, yeah, that was so amazing.
What? We got sort of
booed by a bunch of 14-year-olds. I was just like a spring thing. It wasn't anything major or whatever. But there were quite a few people there because we were in a tent and we were in the only tent and it started raining. So everyone came into the tent. We're like, great, we have our audience. But they were all just there to see like Juicy, I think it was, something like that. Oh, man.
And this one time at Bandcamp?
Actually, I have got a one time at Bandcamp story to follow on there. If you've ever heard of the Moseley Funk and Jazz Festival that was on every year. A friend of mine was booking a comedy bit. I think he wanted like four acts. And like you got a day pass if you went, obviously, like, you know, like you got let in for free. And when we got there, they literally, like, they got like the beer tents and like the big bar, and they literally just put a stage next to the bar on the side, not like in front or behind, like literally at the side of the bar, and went, go on then, like, do some comedy. And like the first guy went up, and like everyone's just waiting for the beer, then getting the beer and leaving. And I was just stood there. I was like, this is not the most bizarre gig I've ever done. But like, I said to the organiser, I ain't going on. He goes, but you've got her. He goes, but you've got her. I've gone, well, what are you going to do if I don't? He went, nothing. God, we'll see you later then. And then just went off and watched Soul to Soul.
Nice.
Yeah.
Most unprofessional gig you ever did.
Yeah. Don't book Phil then, obviously.
I don't like the look of the stage. I'm not going on.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It wasn't even that. It's just like nobody, number one, no one was listening. You were side on to the people. They weren't even facing you. You were side on. What's that about? It was ridiculous.
Yeah. It's very disheartening.
I didn't refuse to go on when you got me the gig at the Hare and Hounds and there was no one there.
Right, let me tell you about the Hare and Hounds. Right, it doesn't matter if no one's there or not, right?
The Hare and Hounds.
Exactly, you can say, I did the Hare and Hounds, and that's all you need to say.
And also, we've got our just to mention a bit about our side project that we're starting next week. We are doing a movie/book podcast where we take a movie and we compare it with its book and the differences and the nuances and the... which one we think is better. It's usually going to be the book, I'd imagine, but you never know. And our first book is going to be Androids Dream of Electric Sheep and the film, which is Blade Runner. Yeah.
Very exciting. Do we actually have a title for it yet?
Yeah, no, we don't. Do we've got a podcast with no title.
You haven't compared this movie and book.
Yeah, you haven't compared this movie and book podcast. It's straight to the point, isn't it?
Do podcasts dream of electric sheep?
No, because we'd have to change the title.
Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Like, it really does. It just rolls off the tongue.
It's not do podcasts dream of electric sheep? That's not that idea. Anyway, yeah, so title to be announced. Phil, Ema, do you want to close the show?
So that was our show. I've been Emer.
Oh, is that just that cook? You're not going to do any socials, anything like that?
Wait, what? You take this part. You're good at this. You've had more practice.
If we do this, We should have done that at the start, really, but never mind. Yes, so if you would like to follow us on all the different socials, from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you can find us like hashtag at YHHTMPC, or You Haven't Heard This Music Podcast, just type it in. There aren't many. In fact, there are none. It's just us. We have that little little corner of Google. Also, www.yhhtmpc.com. You can find us there and all the different things we are doing. If you'd be so kind as to support us on Patreon, that would be much appreciated, because what we do here for you is for free. You don't have to pay for it, but it does cost us to do it. So for the price of £1 a month, you can support our little project here, and we'd love you forever for it. If you're an artist and you support us, it puts you to the front of the queue of hundreds and thousands of people that are emailing us, so you get to listened to first, and you'll definitely get a slot on the website, and you'll definitely get played on the B-side. How bloody exciting is that? Yes, anything else to add? I don't think so, apart from thank you for listening. No, apart from I've been Richie.
I've been Emer.
I've been Wayne.
And I'm Phil.
Thank you for listening.
If indeed.
Still are.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Welcome to Total Wine and More.
I'm on cooler duty this weekend.
Fill it up with seltzers and canned cocktails.
Oh, wow, great prices.
Find what you love, love what you find. At Total Wine and More, drink responsibly, B21.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.